You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Thursday, the 27th of November, 2025, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. Well, it's Thanksgiving Day today, so happy Thanksgiving to all our American listeners. And because of that, Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson is taking today off, and also Grandpa Dan will be taking tomorrow off as well. So you're just going to have a solo podcast from me for today. And for tomorrow, I think they well deserve to take some time off after all the work they've put in trying to cover for me over the last couple of years, which I really appreciate. I remember when on the first day when I came back, I said that we would hope to get a new radio stream up and a new chat room up within the week. Well, we do have both of those up today, so it was a few days longer than a week. But they are now up, and I'm extremely grateful to William Fink of ChristaGuinea.org for helping with those. In fact, doing all of them pretty much, so I'm not very technically minded. We're very lucky that we have a man like him who is both creative and also technically minded. So we do have a chat room, and there should be a link to that on the website now. And I shall also be putting that in the notes underneath the show notes. We now have a radio station, which should be streaming 24 hours a day. I'm just getting to grips with learning how to use that. It's a different setup to the one that we had before. It's got a different dashboard, so it's not like I can just automatically get everything going again so that we've got 6 hours worth of content being repeated 4 times a day. But hopefully that's what we will have. And I'm hoping that it will all be will pretty much all be original content as well. It will all be Radio Albion content, which I think we can make enough content between myself, Mark Collette, Grandpa Dan, Dr. Johnson. And we've also got the music, the playlists, the mixes that I've been making up as well. And I would like to restream Patrick Slattery as well. I think he's a good one to listen to, so I might make up the difference with Patrick Slattery, and I think we should have about 6 hours worth of content every day there then. And the new stream is far a big improvement on the old one. It's got images with it that are embedded into the MP3, and I think you can also download directly from the stream as well, and you can pick what you want to play on there. You can pause it and or rewind that sort of thing. It's all up to date, and so is the chat room. The chat room is all up to date. So now I can concentrate some more on the website now. I'm halfway through going through the Orthodox Nationalists and cataloguing them so that we can have an archive page up again that indexes all the shows. I'll be doing that for all of the shows that we've got on there, but I'm starting with the Orthodox Nationalists so people can go down that and look at what he's produced over the last 2.5 years and pick which show that they want to listen to, instead of just having to keep pressing the back button from this week's show. That's essentially quite a laborious task. I've got some other technical things to be getting on with. I just thought I'd let you know where we are with that. Hopefully we'll get a few people in the chat room, and if people want to contact me, that's the best way to do it, is to just sign up to the chat room and send me a direct message. Well, after that positive start to the week with the news from Donald Trump, we've now got some rather concerning news from Britain, which I would like to get into today, which concerns this idea that the Labour Party are going to do away with jury trials. And people may say, well, that sounds a little bit extreme. Surely it's not all jury trials he's going to be doing away with. Well, no, it's not all. It's just around 95%. And I'm taking this article from the Daily Mail. Around 95% of jury trials could be axed under plans by Labour, which threaten to, quote, destroy justice as we know it, close quote, new legal analysis shows. The eye-watering scale of the proposed cuts can today be revealed after a leaked memo showed the Deputy Prime Minister, who is also the Justice Secretary, plans to scrap jury trials for most offences apart from murder, rape or manslaughter cases. And obviously there's nothing written there about free speech issues. But as I found out, when you are sentenced for a free speech issue, they take it pretty much as seriously as if it is murder, rape or manslaughter. Maybe that's a little bit extreme, but if you have murdered somebody or raped somebody, you would be on a map of three, which means that you've got all these different organisations that are involved in managing you. I was quite shocked that I was on the same map of three as somebody who had been in jail for murder twice, for instance. So they're not saying that it would be free speech cases here. And obviously they wouldn't want free speech cases to be seen by jury. So they may say, oh, yes, well, we're not including these free speech cases here because we realise they're not quite as important as these other terrible crimes, trying to get on the good side of the public. But in actual fact, that what that means is a free speech case will just be decided by a judge and you won't actually have a jury there to decide it. You'll have a politically minded judge. And this is one of the reasons why it's so important that we do actually have a jury. When you have 12 people there taken at random from the public, they all have different perspectives on things. They all come from different areas within society. In the case of my trial, there was one person there on the jury who voted not guilty to everything. And he sent a note to the judge and said, I don't agree with this. This is free speech. I don't think this man has committed any crimes. And the judge said, well, you're supposed to be deciding if this is hate speech. You're not supposed to be deciding if it is free speech. Whereas in actual fact, he should have said, well, if you think it is free speech and not hate speech, then you should be finding him not guilty. But he did find me not guilty. And I would say, judging from that, there's probably 10 to 15% of the general population probably understands these free speech issues now and would probably vote in that way. Whereas if you've got a judge there, the fact that they've actually managed to become a judge means that they will be highly politicized and they will support all the diversity, inclusion and equity and all the diversity programs, because in order to get anywhere in any important positions in society, you have to go along with all of that. It's right through the whole establishment. So it means that if you were going to be tried for a free speech issue, you would be tried by somebody who is biased against you. So this is just one of the reasons why you need to have a jury trial. Also because you're going to get so many miscarriages of justice. You're going to get so many more people that are actually sentenced to jail that are innocent of the crimes because you've just got a judge looking at it instead of a cross-section of society. I mean, this is the reason why we brought these jury trials in the first place, so that you could be tried by your peers. So you're supposed to be tried by the people around you, the people that are the same as you in society. And unless you've actually got a judge that's on trial, and the judge is certainly not one of your peers, is it? So you're not being tried by the people around you. And it's really quite shocking what the Labour Party are doing, trying to bring in this digital ID, which means that they'll just be able to shut down people's bank accounts. Nobody will have any anonymity, all under this really silly disguise that it's going to prevent illegal immigrants from working. And now on top of that, they say they're going to get rid of jury trials. And of course, the reason why they're having this problem, why they're talking about getting rid of jury trials, is because they have such a massive backlog of trials. Why do they have a massive backlog of trials? Well, we did have the issue with COVID, but this has been going on for a long time. we've had a massive increase in crime since we had a massive increase in immigration. Britain used to be known as one of the most law-abiding countries in Europe. You could leave your front door open. I've done podcasts in the past before comparing the numbers that we have for crimes carried out with bladed instruments for the 1900s, and then looking at the increase in the post-war years when we had this massive increase in immigration. And there's been a massive increase in crime since then. And if you look at the statistics, certain ethnic groups are more predisposed to crime than others. What I mean by that is if you look at the number of, say, for instance, Afro-Caribbeans that are sentenced, that means they've been found guilty of violent crimes, it's about five times their percentage of the population. And this isn't just in Britain, because you might say, well, that could just be a special case. It might just be in Britain. Might be that the judges are all racist in Britain, or the police are all racist in Britain. But you find that it's pretty much the same, four or five times their percentage of the population, whichever country you go, whichever multicultural country you look at. Afro-Caribbeans will be more responsible for, have more crime in their community than their percentage of the population. And it's not just them, it's other groups as well. But Asian groups, not Chinese, not Japanese, they actually commit less crimes than white people. But the Muslim countries, they're more likely to commit crime, possibly not when they're actually in an Islamic country, because they might get their hands chopped off or they might be hanged. But when they're in Western countries, then they do tend to commit more crimes. And these crimes, if we look at them again, if we look at statistics, if you have a lower IQ, then a person with a lower IQ is more predisposed to crime. They're going to be more likely to carry out crimes the lower the IQ that they have. And that's not to say that only people with a low IQ carry out crimes, because of course you get very, very intelligent people that get caught in fraud cases and all sorts of things with massive amounts of money that are being stolen, defrauded. But if you have a lower IQ, then IQ is pretty much the best predictor that we have of success in life. If you have a lower IQ, it means you're not going to do so well at school. It means you're more likely to be unemployed. You're more likely to get divorced, I think, and you're more likely to get involved in crime. So when you have countries in the world, particularly in Africa, that have a much lower average IQ than the average IQ in the West, it means that you're importing people that are more likely to carry out crimes in your country. Some countries in Africa, the average IQ is 56. And you think the average European IQ is 100. So that's extremely low. Doesn't mean that they're retarded. I mean, that was the old word that was actually used for anybody that had an IQ that was under 60, I think it was, or it might have even been 70 or 60, 65. But that's based on Europeans. Like a European with an IQ of, say, 55 is going to have great difficulty acting socially, being responsible, being actually social with people. They're going to have great difficulty in doing things because they're supposed to have an IQ that's much higher than that. But if you look at Black Africans who have got a much lower IQ, they're capable to do things. They're fine at doing things because their IQ, that's their average IQ. They're actually supposed to have that IQ. So it doesn't mean that they're not going to be able to tie their shoelaces up, or they're not going to be able to interact with people, make friends, work. It just means that it needs to be more simple work, and their interactions are going to be more simple than European interactions because they are meant to have that IQ. That is their average IQ. Is that much lower than the European IQ? But if you're going to import people like that into Europe, you're going to get increased crime, aren't you? And then you're going to need to have more trials, and then you're going to need to have more prison spaces. And what's happened in Britain is that we have prisons that were built to contain the British population, of the British ethnicity, the majority of the prisons. There have been some new ones built since the old ones were built. But now we've had a massive increase in immigration, and we've had a massive increase in the number of crimes. And now they haven't got room in the prisons, and they haven't got room in the courthouses. It's the same as they haven't got room in the schools. They haven't got room in the hospitals. They haven't got room in the health centres for you to see a doctor. You have to wait weeks, months on end before you can actually see a doctor. You could be waiting up to a year, longer than a year, if you're waiting for an operation, because we've now got so many people here. We've even got so many people here that the sewage pipes are overflowing into the rivers and the lakes. That's the reason for this problem, is immigration. And of course, Labour's way of tackling it is to say, well, we need to get rid of 95% of jury trials. That will solve the problem. But then it becomes, what's more important? Is it more important that we have justice and that you don't get somebody sentenced to jail who is innocent? Or is it more important that we speed up the system? I would say it's more important that we don't end up jailing innocent people. And I would say that the way to look at this is we need to go to the root of the problem, which I would say is mass immigration is the root of this problem. And we need to do something about that. But again, the argument against that, which they don't actually use, but the truthful argument is that they need masses of immigration to keep the financial system going. Because our financial system is built on usury, it's built on interest, it means that there's never enough funds in circulation to actually pay that interest off. Because we never started off with enough funds to pay that interest off. And the only way you can get more funds is to import more people into the country that require more money, and more money has to be created for those people. The best way to explain it is say you have zero funds in circulation, and a person goes to the bank and they borrow £100, and the bank says, okay, you have to pay me £100 back, and then you have to pay £10 back as interest. So remember, there's zero funds in circulation. So the man now has £100 that he's borrowed from the bank. That goes into circulation. If it's in circulation, it means he can get it back by whatever way, through work and what have you. So he gets his £100 back and he pays it to the bank, but there's no £10 in circulation for him to pay the extra £10. So the only way that the bank can get their £10 is if somebody else takes out another loan. So somebody else takes out another loan for £100. Then from that £100, you can take £10 to pay off the interest on the first loan, but then that second person has only got £90 in circulation and he's been asked to pay back £110. So he's got to find £20. So again, somebody else has then got to take out a loan. So in order for the financial system to function, you have to have like infinite loans taken out. And in order to have these loans taken out, you're going to need to have more people, just so that there is more money in circulation. And it benefits the banks, because if you have more people, then the government needs to borrow more money. When the government budgets, it doesn't say, well, we've got this surplus amount here. We've got this savings that we've made from the tax and we can use those savings. That's not it. When the government budgets, they go to the bank and they borrow the money from the bank. So if they've got X number of people that are going to be on benefits, they will borrow that money from the bank to pay those benefits. So that money is then in circulation, and the people that have taken out loans can then get the money to pay the interest from what's in circulation, and it has to keep increasing. So that the banking system means that we have to have an infinite loans being carried out all the time, more and more and more. And this is why it crashes. But this is simply why they have to have immigration. And of course, even the mass immigration from cultures that are vastly different to our own, because we can't import all the people from Europe. They've got the same problems in their own countries. So they'll all start importing people from outside of Europe just so that they can keep the financial system going. And the economy is there to serve the nation. It's not the nation that should be serving the economy. And all of these problems, the debt that people get into, the mass immigration that is the result of the financial system, it all goes back to putting usury on loans, which is why usury is a mortal sin in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Usury is outlawed. It was outlawed in Britain until very late, I think, after King Alfred the Great. Jews were allowed to sell money, they were allowed to put interest on loans because they were Jews. But when the Jew died, the money had to go to the king. That's why the kings allowed these Jews to exist in the countries. That's why they would, problems would occur, and the Jews would end up being removed in various countries. And it always goes back to the same thing. It goes back to this interest and these loans with the money that was put on top of it. So the end result of going against natural law, because it goes against natural law to have interest on a loan. If you lend somebody a coat, somebody needs a coat, so you lend them a coat. You don't say, well, I need you to give me that coat back, and I need you to give me a hat as well on top of it, because it's just a coat that you've lent them, and there is only that coat. You shouldn't be expecting a hat back on top of it. You've helped the person out by loaning them something that they needed. So it goes against natural law and the natural order to have usury in the first place. And when you introduce things that go against the natural order, you end up causing all sorts of problems that perhaps weren't foreseen in the first place when they started using this system. So this is the reason why they have to have immigration. And because we have so much immigration, we now don't have enough courtrooms, don't have enough prisons to deal with this problem. And everything that they try to do is sort of tying a Band-Aid around it and trying to make do. But the root of the problem is the immigration and the usury. Well, I've gone a little bit off topic here. Let's pull it back round to this article that we've got here. In the biggest shake-up of the criminal justice system for 800 years, it is estimated that around 77,000 criminal cases would be heard by a judge alone under David Lammy's proposals for a lower-tier court to tackle a record backlog of cases. Mr. Lammy faced a growing backlash from lawyers and MPs yesterday who accused him of betraying the Magna Carta after a briefing document was circulated suggesting all cases with a possible sentence of up to 5 years be decided by a judge, with the exception of murder, rape, manslaughter, or cases deemed to be in the public interest. Now, they did say that my case was deemed to be in the public interest. They will say that breaking the Public Order Act, seeing people punished for that, is in the public interest. So I think they would also have to change the way they looked at these free speech cases, which again they might do because there are just so many of them. And they might say, well, we no longer can afford to put it in the public interest. It will just have to be summary justice, which is going to be worse for nationalists, worse for political dissidents, because they'll just be judged by judge. There'll be no jury there. This public interest thing is quite weird. I mean, if they don't think something's in the public interest, then they won't actually investigate. You know, somebody could be carrying out a crime, but they could say, well, it's not in the public interest to prosecute them, so we won't prosecute them. It's another quirk of the British legal system. Analysis by the Criminal Bar Association, which represents barristers in England and Wales, suggests that this could impact 95% of cases. Now, the barristers and the solicitors were all on strike when I was on trial because there's been no increase in the money that they've been paid for about 10 years. And they're expected to work for legal aid, and they've reduced legal aid so much that it's not worth them actually taking on these cases. And where has a lot of the legal aid money gone? Well, a lot of it has gone on asylum seekers. Again, so it's related to immigration, the reason why there isn't enough money to pay the barristers the money from the legal aid. So many of our problems go down to this immigration, and then from that to usury. Last night, Shadow Justice Secretary Robert Jenrick, Tory leader Kemi Badenoch and 54 other MPs sent a joint letter demanding the government increase court sitting days instead of taking a constitutional axe to 800 years worth of jury trials. The latest Ministry of Justice figures show there were 81,000 cases sent to Crown Court in the 12 months to June. Of those prosecutions, 2,978 rape, 182 manslaughter, and 388 murder cases are being tried by a jury. Well, they should be. This suggests that around 95%, 77,000 cases, could be eligible for trial by judge under Mr. Lammy's plans. A scale of the proposed reforms has horrified lawyers who say that it is a symptom of national crisis. And that's what I'm saying. We are in a national crisis. We are rapidly replacing the original population here with groups from outside of Europe in a desperate bid to keep the failed financial system going. I mean, that's what is at the root of it. And it's causing all these symptoms of national crisis because that goes against nature as well. Birds of a feather flock together. You don't put all different creatures living in one space, in one environment. Each creature lives in its own environment, with its own group. You never in nature get all different types of being living together in one territory because they would fight. And that's what happens to us. So again, as well as the fact that you have people that are more predisposed to carrying out crime, you're more likely to have crimes taking place anyway, just because it's a multicultural area. So there is less empathy for people that are different to ourselves. Labour has also been accused of rank hypocrisy, as both Mr. Lammy and the Prime Minister have previously backed jury trials, with the latter calling for them to be extended to all criminal cases when he was a younger lawyer. So that's ideally what you would have, and that is idealism. So his answer to that would be, well, that was idealism. Obviously, we would like to have a jury trial for everybody, but we just can't afford to now because we got such a big backlog with the trials. CBA Chair Riel Carmi-Jones KC said the reforms will destroy justice as we know it. They will. And it could be the undermining of this government. This and the ID, the digital ID, could be what brings this government down, I think. She said, if the latest government proposals are legislated for by Parliament, it seems that about 95% of trials would be heard by a judge alone. There must be serious concerns about miscarriages of justice under these proposals, as they will affect tens of thousands of people, young and old, from all ethnic backgrounds, whose fate will fall to be decided by a single judge, without the checks and balances that a jury of 12 provides. Victims of serious crime, including serious violent and sexual crime, and those accused of such offences may be deprived of any sense of justice if juries are in effect all but eviscerated from the justice system. I mean, it would no longer be a just system then, would it? It would be an unjust system. It would be summary justice. It would be star chambers, which we haven't had for a long time, which was when you didn't have a jury. It was just summary justice. It was like, you were guilty. This is your punishment. And you couldn't defend yourself. There is no habeas corpus. David Harstaff, partner at BCL Solicitors, said curtailment of jury trials has generally been reserved for exceptional circumstances such as war or force of terrorism. The idea of jury trials being pared back in peacetime suggests a failure of governance. It is a symptom of national crisis. It's like when you arrest people and hold them without charge, like they did during the Second World War. Regulation 18B. Anybody that was against the war, that was a nationalist and didn't want to see two brother nations going to war against one another, were all put in jail. They weren't told what they were in jail for. They didn't have a chance to defend themselves. It was summary of justice. They were all just put in jail. And that was Regulation 18B. And this is similar to that. You won't have a jury. You may not even be allowed to defend yourself because the judge is just going to make this decision of whether you're guilty or not guilty. And of course, he's going to be more likely to say guilty because you're being prosecuted. So the state therefore thinks you are guilty. So this is the other side of it. The judge himself is a part of the state. The jury is not a part of the state. You're actually being judged by the jury. You're being judged by your peers. So it's a fundamental change that they're talking about here, where you'll be judged by the state instead of being judged by your peers. The Conservatives urged Mr. Lammy to rethink last night as it emerged courtrooms have lain empty for more than 20,000 sitting days so far this year. And this is always what they'll say. They say, well, can't you just open up these courts that aren't open? But the reason why they're not open is because somebody can't make it to the trial. Somebody might be ill. Somebody might have a family emergency. A trial may have been deferred to take place at another time. And in order to have that trial take place at another time, they've got to make sure that everybody can make it. They've got to make sure that the defense barrister is not defending somebody else on another trial at that time, or not prosecuting somebody else at that time. That's why these courtrooms, Elena, are empty. And it's also because they don't have enough people that are taking up the law profession. And the reason why they're not taking up the law profession is because there's the lack of money that's involved in it now, especially if you're a junior barrister. And this is why they were protesting against it. Between 4,800 and 10,000 cases could have been cleared from the Crown Court backlog if court space had been fully used. A conservative analysis of official data showed. Yes, but it can't be used, can it, for the reasons that I just outlined. The joint letter by MPs warns to take a constitutional axe to jury trials because of an administrative failure to provide enough court sitting days is to attack the symptom and leave the disease untouched. Well, what are they saying the disease is, I wonder? Shifting almost all Crown Court trials to judges sitting alone is a step too far. But of course, they're saying the disease is that there hasn't been enough investment and the courts are laying empty. And I'm saying, well, no, the disease is usury and mass immigration. That's what's caused this. That's what's at the root of it. Shifting almost all Crown Court trials to judges sitting alone is a step too far. Since Magna Carta, the promise has been constant that no free person will lose his liberty except by the lawful judgment of his equals. And a judge is not your equal, is he? He's part of the establishment. Mr. Jenrick's analysis showed 21,000 sitting days have been missed so far this year because individual courtrooms were not open for business. Each Crown Court jury trial sits for about 5 hours a day. And that's probably about right, because there's a lot of work that goes on before the 5 hours that they're sitting and after. And often a judge himself is seeing three or four different trials in the same courthouse. It means the unused courts could have heard about 9,000 less complex cases known as either way trials, which take an average 11 sitting hours to complete, or 4,000 longer indictable only trials, which take 22 hours on average. Mr. Jerrick said if Calamity Lamy did his job and had the court sitting around the clock, the court backlog would be between 5,000 and 10,000 cases lower each year. Yes, so I can really see these judges doing a night shift and being up all night. And how are these barristers supposed to get there if they're working 24 hours around the clock? You know, it's not feasible what they're talking about as the solutions here. In actual fact, I think one of the solutions, what they might do, they might decriminalise cannabis, but or decriminalise other drugs. I do wonder how much of court time is spent dealing with cases that are related to drugs. I mean, that's another thorny issue to get into for another day, I suppose, because so much crime is drug related. 800 years of history and the confidence of millions of our constituents should not be bartered away for a misleading promise of quick administrative gains. Trial by jury is one of Britain's greatest gifts to the world. You're quite right there. It's a very British thing. It's something that the British are very proud of introducing to the rest of the world. And here we are. Now we're just going to go and get rid of it, because we've got too much crime going on in the country for us to cope with. That's essentially what the problem is. And as I say, we know what's caused it. It's mass immigration that's caused it. We know why we have this mass immigration. It's because we have usury in the banking system. The solutions to this are too massive to even properly comprehend. That's why people will say, well, there's no political solution. That's why I would suggest, well, the solution is to learn about this stuff, teach your children about this stuff, form communities, work together as communities, and take usury out of it. So you're helping one another out. That's what you do in a community. There isn't much that we can change politically. We can hope that the government will cut back on immigration. We can hope that the government won't get rid of jury trials. But that's essentially all we can do. All we can do, we don't have any effect on the levers of power. What we can do is help our communities, form communities, use each other's businesses, do exactly what Patriotic Alternative are doing. That's the non-political solution, and that's what I think people should be putting their efforts into. So hopefully they won't get rid of trial by jury. but they've got to do something about this. And it's the massive increase in crime that's caused this, not just COVID, because it was like this before COVID. Anyway, I've gone a little bit over time here. As I was saying, have a very happy Thanksgiving. Thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with another episode of The Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.